fan, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
What did you say before Superman? Come on. It's like you jumped right over
it. It was the only thing that was left for him to do. I mean, that was it. What else is there? By the way, he takes a hit and lands. He lands it.
It is 4:08. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with you on a September 25th, Monday edition of the program today. Alex Kuhn along with me, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass, has lined up an exquisite show for you today. We'll talk with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. He will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State did not have a game last weekend, but they've got a big one Thursday night at home against the Texas Longhorns. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa State's preparations for that contest. I believe they're a home underdog in that of 6 points, but I'll have to double-check on that one. Scott Dochterman from thelandof10.com will be with us at 5 o'clock tonight. We'll talk about, well, Saquon Barkley's superhuman performance. You heard Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler there in the intro to the program. Saturday night, still trying to come to grasp with what I saw and what I witnessed at Kinnick Stadium. Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago, the third time is the charm. I just invented that saying, and hopefully it holds true. At 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to talk with Jesse. The Chicago Cubs' magic number now 2. After taking 3 of 4 games from the Milwaukee Brewers in that series. Next up on the horizon, it's the St. Louis Cardinals, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, Cardinals,
it starts tonight, right?
Series starts tonight as the Cubs make their way toward the end of the Major League season. And, by the way, there may or may not be some talk about what happened in the National Football League over the weekend. And I'm not talking about the Bears beating the Steelers in overtime. So here is the trigger warning for all of you out there who are in the stick to sports, I want to hear sports, I don't want to hear CNN. If you want to drive in that lane, or for lack of a better term, if you want to ride in that lane, are we carpooling in the stick to sports, I don't want to feel like I'm listening to CNN lane? That lane has the green X lit from now until 5:35 tonight. The stick to sports lane, the express lane is open. You can carpool in it. We'll stick to sports, your view of sticking to sports, until after we're done talking with Scott Dochterman. And then at 5:30 tonight, we'll talk about a story of great social importance, to quote from Janis Joplin and Mercedes-Benz. But until then, the trigger warning has been issued, and you stay in your lane, folks. You stick to sports, folks. You are good to go on this program until we're done talking to Scott Dochterman tonight. And then, if you need to find a safe space because you can't handle hearing about something that happened over the weekend that a lot of people are talking about, that's your warning. So you've been warned, and you should probably know what's coming from listening to this program in the past. But that's fair warning. 319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And by the way, and here's what I've decided that I'm going to do today. When we do get to that topic today at 5:30, I am going to read every single text that comes in on the text line. But I am going to do it at 7 o'clock when I'm off the air, because I don't want it to completely derail that discussion. It doesn't mean you guys can't, whatever you want to do with the text, I will read everything that you have to say to me, but I will read it at 7 o'clock tonight. That's my promise to you. We do have a good show today, and we cannot start here locally without leading off with Iowa and Penn State. That game lived up to the billing. And if you were listening to the pregame show, which I certainly hope you were Saturday evening, technically at that point, about 5:15, 5:25-ish, when I was on with the rest of the gang here. I said not a single person, Penn State writer, Iowa writer, that was in the press box thought that that game was going to be decided by more than 10 points. Every single person I talked to thought that that was going to be a touchdown game or less. I think I had an 8-point spread in my final prediction that was printed in the Cedar Rapids Gazette on Saturday morning. It's really hard for me, and we are, what, 48 hours removed, and then some, from Saturday night, and it is still hard for me to fathom what I witnessed, other than the fact that the Iowa defense came to play. Saquon Barkley is probably the closest thing to superhuman that I've seen in person with my own eyes. And the Hawkeyes acquitted themselves quite well, but ultimately they didn't come away with the win. And there's not much else you can say about it other than I thought I was going to be trampled by the students coming over the wall. And within the span of about a minute and 24 seconds, Kinnick Stadium went from being absolutely one of the loudest places that I've ever been to being completely quiet. And then people were standing around. If you follow me on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, you probably saw the picture that I tweeted out 10 minutes after the game was over, and thousands of people were still standing and just looking out at the field, and they weren't moving. When I wrote about it at Voice of the Hawkeyes over the weekend, I said I made a Mount Vesuvius Pompeii reference. I mean, it was just people were frozen, flash frozen, didn't know how to react to what they saw. That was a hell of a football game. And I ask you this, and this is what I want to talk about here at the start of the program. Saquon Barkley, I cannot remember seeing in the last 15, 20 years with my own eyes inside Kinnick Stadium a visiting player that was as electric as Saquon Barkley. A couple people, I asked this on Twitter Saturday night, and I think it probably got lost in the discussion of the game as it was going on. I had a couple people say Antoine Randall L. I had a couple people say James Hardy. Rest in peace, by the way. What a tremendous college football player James Hardy was. And man, did he put on a clinic when they faced the Hawkeyes several years ago inside Kinnick Stadium. I'm watching Saquon Barkley on Saturday. That was, by the way, a Penn State school record for all-purpose yards for Saquon Barkley. And the best comment that I heard Saturday night in the press box, I'm already getting nervous about 5:30 tonight. I'm tripping over my words. One of the beat writers said that if I were in a fantasy football league this year, I would have drafted Saquon Barkley if it were a keeper league, a dynasty league. That's how good Saquon Barkley was. And the poll question today at KGYMRadio.com is, after Saturday night's performance, is Saquon Barkley the Heisman Trophy frontrunner? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. Find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. I say yes.
Saquon Barkley is the best running back, the complete package of running back that I've ever seen. We were trying to come up with a comparison, and you can't do it because you say, oh, okay, well, Adrian Peterson, well, he catches the ball better than Adrian Peterson. He's better in space than Adrian Peterson. Oh, well, Barry Sanders, well, he's bigger and he's stronger than Barry Sanders. He's a combination, at least physically, of all the great running backs that have ever played the game. And yes, I would take him in a fantasy league if it were a keeper league, because he is a plug-and-play guy in the NFL, and as long as he doesn't get injured, he's going to be a Pro Bowler right away in the NFL. He didn't show me anything that I didn't already know about him. He had a fantastic game on Saturday. And yes, at this point, he's the clear Heisman frontrunner. Sam Darnold has thrown 6 interceptions. Mason Rudolph went down this past weekend to TCU. I think Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield right now, as it stands, is a 2-horse race for the Heisman Trophy, but it is still early in the season.
Saquon Barkley was electric Saturday night. And I said, and look, you want to talk about bad analysis. I said, one guy is not going to beat Iowa. And one guy almost did. I mean, Penn State beat Iowa, but that was virtually all on Saquon Barkley. And what makes him so much better this year than last year, he's being utilized more as a receiver this year. And he worked all summer long on getting better at being a receiver. And it showed. Let's head to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Dennis in Iowa City wants to talk about Saturday night's game. Holy cow. Dennis, what's up?
Well, I got a couple points on the game. Barkley is unbelievable. I go back to the 60s watching games at Kinnick, and the next best performance I can think of is Leroy Keyes from Purdue. A couple years ago, Gordon from Wisconsin I thought was awesome, but no comparison here.
Yeah.
The second point was that I think the Penn State defense's inadequacy of tackling Watley inside the 10-yard line cost us that game. They tackle him on the 10. At the first down, we run off 40 seconds. They call a timeout. We take three knees or two knees and kick a field goal and win. So I think that's kind of ironic.
Appreciate the phone call, Dennis. A couple people also mentioned Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin. And he was good against Iowa, but, I mean, that is the type of performance that I don't have a very good memory. I barely recall what I had for breakfast this morning. I'm fat. It was probably a donut. As a matter of fact, it's coming back to me. It was an Entman's apple cider donut, and it was delicious. But bad memory and all, 25, 30 years from now, if I'm still gracing this great place that we call Earth, I'm going to remember that game, and I'm going to remember Saquon Barkley's performance. I mean, this happens so rarely that it sort of sticks in your head, but there's no cheering in the press box. And you'll hear people say that all the time, but what does happen is as the game unfolds, you will hear people, mostly guys, because that's who inhabits that section of the press box, but you will hear us because you can't take the football viewer out of the person who's sitting there in the press box. So even though we're relatively objective and there's no cheering, what you will hear are reactions to major plays. And Saquon Barkley, on at least two occasions Saturday night, elicited an audible gasp from three rows of – I mean, it was a chorus. It was almost like it was synchronized. Okay, on a count of three, everybody just go, whoa. And one of those was the play that was referenced there in the opening where he hurdles, I think it was Josh Jackson, and then Amani Hooker comes in, hits him in the air on his left hip.
With his shoulder and his helmet.
I mean, it was a direct hit. And Barkley, in midair, doesn't even flinch, lands on his feet, and gains another 2 or 3 yards. I've seen people make references to Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. I've seen Madden references, cheat codes, you name it. That was a hell of a performance. And you know what? He wasn't as good as Barkley, but Akram Wadley, it took him a while to get going. At the end of the first quarter, I think he had 10 carries and no yards. Penn State just completely bottled him up. That second quarter, when he was able to break loose, that was a pretty good showing for Akram Wadley. And I feel like an idiot because I pointed out when he fumbled, hey, Akram's had some fumble issues in the past. That was such a good hit on him. It would have been hard for anybody to hang onto the ball. But I can't say enough things about Saquon Barkley. And if you're an NFL team and you need a running back, sign me up. I'll tank the rest of the season right now to get him.
That's exactly the point. I know running backs have been devalued in the NFL, but Ezekiel Elliott, I think they're kind of making a little bit of a comeback, especially with a guy like Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette going in the top four. Is this a transcendent running back that could go number one overall or should go number one overall? It's hard to argue against it based on what we've seen.
And I, you know, I agree with you on the running backs being devalued and everything, but that's I'm gonna put the hex on him here because I'm gonna say he looks like a generational type running back.
He is
at this point, and what I was really disappointed with was I was down on the field for the final 5 minutes of regulation, and that's when. Do you remember when Barkley went down on the ground? He was down for maybe a couple seconds. And they actually said timeout for an injured player, and they had to get him. I heard an Iowa fan. It was one guy. I'm not going to paint with a broad brush because Iowa fans are better than that, and most fan bases are better than that. But there was one guy who I heard say out loud, cheer out loud, saying he was hoping that it was an ACL injury. And I've never in my life wanted to punch someone in the face more because if you can't, granted, you're an Iowa fan and that's the guy's wearing a Penn State uniform, you can't appreciate greatness when you see it. I don't know what to tell you. And again, as an impartial observer, my heart almost stopped when I saw him hesitate to get up off the ground because what he was doing and what you were seeing there was a special player. And I thought, man, if something bad happens to him, if he blows out a knee, if he tears an ACL and he gets derailed before he even gets a chance to get off the ground. Now, players come back all the time, but especially with football players and running backs, you know, they lose a step or two coming back from it. And luckily for him, he was able to make his way off the field and it wasn't a serious injury, but That was not good for a couple seconds Saturday night. But I appreciate greatness when I see it. And you have to acknowledge how great that performance was.
It was amazing. And I see people bringing up Christian McCaffrey. If Iowa played Saquon Barkley the way they played Christian McCaffrey in that Rose Bowl, he would have gone for 500 yards. They did an unbelievable job of limiting. They would keep his touches to 12 yards instead of 20 yards. They were able to bring him down in the open field, and that kept them from giving up more points than they did. They kept him in the game, quite honestly. They buckled down inside the red zone, and Penn State couldn't execute in the red zone, and it kept him in the game. So, yes, Saquon Barkley was outstanding, and as was Christian McCaffrey a couple of years ago, but the Iowa defense did so a much better job tackling and being more disciplined this time around than they did against Christian McCaffrey in the Rose Bowl.
The text line is mad that we're not talking about Josie Jewell, who was the co-defensive player of the week this week. Look, we get to talk about how great Josie Jewell is 12 weeks out of the year. I think you can probably grant us the latitude to talk for 15 minutes on Saquon Barkley, who, yeah, no surprise, offensive player of the week in the Big Ten. Look, at the end of the day, that was two football teams who left it, and Kirk said this in the post-game news conference, this is two teams, they left it all out there. I mean, that was, for a while, when it was 7-5, and you had the safety, and I said, look, this is Big Ten football right here. Another ugly game. And then in the second half, man, and the ratings, the television ratings, very, very good. People were watching that game, and I don't think a single person came away from that game with a bad view of Iowa. I thought even though Iowa lost the game, the Hawkeyes held their own. And that was a statement game for them. And we talked about that coming in, too, because of what happened last year at Beaver Stadium. Iowa left it all out there. And at the end of the day, here's what's absolutely crazy. 599 total yards last year in State College. Penn State had 579 total yards on Saturday night. They were within 20 yards of their yardage total from last year. Absolutely astounding. They ran 99 plays.
Yeah.
99 plays.
Even in
final score 21-19.
Even in a day and age where up-tempo offenses rule, 99 plays is a ridiculous number. And the defense was able to hold when it needed to except for at the very end. So I know we're talking a lot about Saquon Barkley, but it can't be overstated how good of a job and how good of a game plan the defense had for the for this game.
I caught, we'll get to the phone line here in a little bit because I know we've got a couple people who want to say something. I caught a little bit of Barkley's post-game comments. One of the first things he said was everything about Iowa lived up to the billing. He talked about how great the students were, how great the fans were, the atmosphere in Kinnick Stadium, and boy, did he talk about how great that team was that he played too. So, well, let's squeeze in James in Fairfax here. James, what's up?
Oh, you just spoke about what I wanted to talk about.
I'm sorry, James.
During the game, I wasn't all that thrilled because I'm a diehard Hawkeye fan, and I just didn't like to see him tear him apart like he was doing. But after the game and listening to him speak and how well-spoken he was and how he gave props to the whole Iowa program, and, I mean, everything he said, I mean, it was a wonderful interview, and I hope he just keeps on tearing it up the rest of the year. Thank you.
And it was just, you know, it was almost a shame. It sounds, this is so 2017 PC, everybody gets a ribbon, but it's a shame somebody had to lose that game. It really is. I mean, I just, the way that that second half played out, wow. Like I said, 48, and that's so, look, I've done this for almost 20 years, and the game's just, I barely even pay attention to them anymore. I don't care. That game's going to stick with me, and especially that performance. Let's go ahead and squeeze Mike in here. We still got to get to a big board update as well, and John Walter's coming up in just a few minutes. Mike, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about Penn State's passing game. I thought, I mean, they could just target Saquon Barkley all night, and they wouldn't be able to complete a pass. Just curious what your guys' thoughts was on that.
I think the defensive line of Iowa, the size and the length gave Trace McSorley all kinds of issues. He's only 6 feet tall, or listed at 6 feet tall. He's 5'10 or 5'11, quite honestly. And he ended up throwing for 290 yards, but Iowa made him earn every inch of it and really flustered him with the length of that defensive line.
And I said this to someone that was standing next to me on Saturday night, too. I said, it's going to be awfully hard to get the toothpaste back in the tube with regard to A.J. Epenesa. I know they have a game plan for how much they want to play and limit his snaps, but every game I see him play, it is getting harder and harder to keep him in that. I mean, he is carving out a larger role. The problem is you got a lot of other talented players there as well. It's a good problem to have. Let's go ahead and send it over to Kyle for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as the Big Ten's co-defensive player of the week for his efforts in Iowa's 21-19 loss to Penn State over the weekend. He matched a career high with 16 tackles, including 6 solo tackles and 3 for a loss, as well as an interception and fumble recovery. Jewell leads the Big Ten with 44 tackles and has now received the honor twice in his first 4 weeks. Despite the loss, Iowa earned some respect on Saturday night and received 16 votes in this week's AP poll, technically good for 31st in the country. Penn State's Saquon Barkley was named Offensive Player of the Week for his 211 rushing yards and school record 358 all-purpose yards against the Hawkeyes. He also had a career-high 12 receptions and now leads the Big Ten in rushing and receiving yards and receptions. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders split a home-and-home with the Waterloo Blackhawks over the weekend, losing 4-0 on Friday in Waterloo and winning 5-2 in Cedar Rapids on Saturday. They've got 3 more preseason games this week, including another one at home against Sioux City on Thursday. Tonight after the show, it's Monday Night Football between the Cowboys and Cardinals in Arizona. That'll start up around 7:30, and we'll pick up coverage shortly after 7 o'clock on all 3 KGYM frequencies. That's 106.3 FM, the South Gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym here in Cedar Rapids.
Cole College also announced its Hall of Fame class today. I was listening to the gym class. I'm surprised Mark didn't mention this, being the Cohawk that he is, but a fellow, speaking of good running backs, fellow by the name of Fred Jackson.
He wasn't bad at Co.
One of the Hall of Fame inductees this year at Co. So we're going to get caught up here. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, is going to be with us in just a little bit. We'll talk more Iowa and Penn State with Scott Docterman from thelandat10.com. He's going to be with us at 5 o'clock tonight. Your texts and phone calls, 319-366-1600. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
This bottom of the hour sports beat is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes.
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes. Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Things totally flipped in football. Isn't the NFL more predictable? College is where things go haywire with upsets and surprises. Not this weekend. Aside from TCU and Georgia making big statements with wins over Oklahoma State and Mississippi State, respectively, it was quiet in college football. But in the NFL, I still don't know what happened. The Jets won. The Bears beat Pittsburgh despite Marcus Cooper's moronic bonehead move at the goal line to lose a touchdown. Seriously, get into the end zone. He should be suspended for idiocy. Tyrod Taylor was better than Trevor Siemian. The Bills beat Denver. But it's more than that. Cam Newton's a mess. His team got blasted at home by the Saints. Kirk Cousins showed he may be worth whatever he wants to get paid. They blasted Oakland. Case Keenum made people forget about Sam Bradford. Deshaun Watson almost won at New England. The Browns lost even though they were favored for the first time in 2 years. And the Seahawks, they're just not that good. Oh, and a dude hit a 61-yarder at the horn for the Eagles to beat the Giants. I'm a college football guy, but this weekend, the NFL, I hate to say this, was better. In 60 seconds, the best thing I saw all weekend did come from college football.
It's time for some straight talk. Green, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. Kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
It's gone viral, and it should have. Tell me you've seen it, because Saturday in primetime, it was the best thing on TV. It's become a tradition at Iowa football games. At the end of the first quarter, everybody waves to the kids at the Children's Hospital, which rises above Kinnick Stadium, allowing many of the kids to watch the game. To hear about this new tradition that just started essentially on social media is one thing. To see it is something else entirely. Everybody turns their cell phone light on and waves, and waves, and waves. And watching it, you can't avoid getting chills. Howard's Rock at Clemson, Jump Around at Wisconsin, chanting Roll Tide, War Eagle, Fight On, or Boomer Sooner, all cool traditions. But Iowa's fans waving at the kids, that's number one. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
4:37, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Alex Kuhn along for the ride until 7 o'clock tonight. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joining us shortly. His appearance will be brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Cyclones, as we mentioned, not in action last week, but they do have Texas Thursday night. Here's the bad news about that. We're not going to get to pick that game on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 this week.
Because we're picking on Friday.
So, sorry, Iowa State fans. You're not going to get to hold my feet to the fire on the card. Mark Dukes wins again. 3 out of 4 weeks, Duker has won the pick six. And we had a texter, it's our old pal 3530, wants to know if Fred Jackson is in the Hall of Fame at Coe, is Mark Dukes. And then if he's not, he should be. And I said, I've got to look into the golf team that Mark was on. I'm sure if he's listening, he'll text me and let me know. But I've lobbied to get Mark into the Cedar Rapids Professional Baseball Hall of Fame because he was a bat boy for a while for the team, as well as the sports editor at the Gazette. And I think the more Hall of Fames Mark Dukes is in, the better. Is there a Cedar Rapids Bowling Hall? I bet there is.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Lifetime Achievement Award for his contributions in raising awareness to the game through Bowling Night in America. We induct Mark Dukes into the Cedar Rapids Bowling Hall of Fame. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk more Hawkeyes and Penn State. Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 coming up at 5 o'clock. 5:30. Some things went on in the NFL over the weekend. We'll talk about that then. John Walters is with us, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones. As we mentioned, no game last week. Big game Thursday night. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. I think everybody is ready. It was fun kind of Saturday night with you and I and Iowa State off. Iowa had sort of the entire state's spotlight on it, and I think it's going to be fun for Thursday night to have that same feel in Ames, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's always a big deal when you play a football game when there's really no other game in town. And you look at the college football schedule, there's maybe two or three games on Thursday night, none of them anywhere close in magnitude to the Iowa State-Texas game. So this is a great showcase. It's a great opportunity for a Big 12 conference opener for both these teams and a chance to show off what Jack Trice Stadium is all about. And an exciting time for Matt Campbell's program. You know, I mean, they're off to a decent start here at 2-1. They could really take a big step forward with a win on Thursday night. So, and you know, Texas is always a measuring stick. If you can beat Texas, that's always a big deal. I don't care what year it is. I don't care what the circumstances are. With the resources that they have, anytime you can beat them, that's a very big deal. So hopefully Iowa State can find a way to get it done.
Will Texas be the best defensive front that Iowa State has faced to this point?
I think so. You know, you can make an argument for Iowa, too. I think the biggest thing, though, with Texas, and Matt Campbell talked about it at his press conference today, is that was the best defensive front they saw last year. And it's a lot of the same guys, but they seem to be playing with a little bit of an extra heartbeat this year. And, you know, it wasn't as evident week one when they played Maryland. Obviously, Maryland deserved to win that football game. They were the much better football team that day. That was a crazy game, and it reminded me a little bit of what happened Matt Campbell's first game last year. I just think there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen, and then when you have a new coaching staff, it just kind of maybe takes a little while for things to kick in. And I think Texas went through a little bit of that themselves with that game against Maryland. But, boy, by the time they played USC, watching that game start to finish, I was really, really impressed with Texas defensively. They fly to the football. Puna Ford is an absolute force, probably the Big 12's best, one of the country's best as an interior defensive lineman. And then a guy like Malik Jefferson just closes gaps in such a hurry. And then they've got a good back end, too, with they've scored 5 non-offensive touchdowns this season in 3 games. So there's a lot of playmakers out there. Paul Rhodes always used to say they've got a lot of erasers. And what he meant by that is guys who could make a mistake or make up for a teammate's mistake because they were so good and so quick that they could go erase a mistake. And he said these, you know, this, he would talk about a team like this and say they have a lot of erasers. And I think that would be a good way to word it for this Texas defense.
If you had to guess, I know they listed an or on the depth chart this week in Austin, but if you had to guess, who's going to be under center for them Thursday night?
Boy, I mean, I would certainly expect Shane Buechele, because I know that the comments from Tom Herman here in the last week or so were basically that Buechele didn't do anything to lose the job. So I would think it'll probably be him, but I think long-term, Ellinger is probably more his kind of quarterback. He's a little bit more of a runner. And I think if you go back and look at Tom Herman's offenses historically, his quarterbacks have always run the football. And Bouchel can run it. I wouldn't say it's his strength. And I mean, it's probably not Ellinger's strength either, but he's more of a runner, I would say, than Bouchel. I think over the long haul, Ellinger's going to be the guy, but I think for this game, I would be surprised if Bouchel wasn't out there. But you never know. I mean, these two guys are obviously pretty close, neck and neck in this race, and so it's not like one is an obvious choice over the other.
One of the storylines that we didn't talk about last week after the Akron game was Braxton Lewis stepping in admirably for Kamari Cotton-Moya. Is Lewis one of these walk-on success stories, and has he earned more time with the way he played last Saturday or two Saturdays ago?
I think yes on both counts. He's definitely one of the walk-on success stories, no question about that. And, you know, a guy who typically when guys come in and they have to kind of make a name for themselves, they do it first on special teams. That's exactly what Braxton Lewis has done. And eventually they get to a trust point with the coaches where they can put him in game situations as well besides special teams. And Braxton got that opportunity the other day and really made the most of it. He was terrific. I mean, his third down stop early in the second half when Akron was starting to move the football a little bit, I thought really was as good a play and as big a play as there was in that game. And so, and then of course he had the interception late and a nice return, but you know, he is a success story, and I do think he'll start earning more playing time. Coach Campbell said today that Kamari Cotton-Moya, still no decision's been reached about whether or not he's going to play. I mean, I assume that he probably will. You never know. But I think either way, Braxton Lewis has earned himself some playing time, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him out there some on Thursday night.
John Walters joining us, talking Cyclone Sports, courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. We touched on this a little bit last week, John, but in a slightly different vein, the bye week. Do you think it was a good thing that Iowa State had a little extra time to prepare for Texas? Or are you in the camp that doesn't necessarily like bye weeks because you worry about the team maybe getting a little rust?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a part of you that just wants to keep going. And I think Matt himself, which is far more important what he feels than what I feel, but he's a real routine guy. He likes routine. And, you know, you've got this kind of weird part of the schedule right now that's kind of thrown him off his routine. I think he'll look forward to getting back into a Monday through Friday regular routine with Saturday games every week and just getting in that flow. But I do think for a couple reasons it was probably good. Number one, to get some guys healthy like Kamari Cotton-Moya, hopefully Jamal Johnson coming along, DeAndre Payne suffered a little hamstring injury. Hopefully he is back to full strength this week. I think that's the most important thing. But secondly, you know, you heard Coach Campbell talk about after the Akron game that some of the attention to detail was still lacking with this football team. And he stressed that if it's still lacking when you're facing the Texases and Oklahomas of the world, that you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so to have a few extra days to kind of address some of those details and try to iron some of that stuff out, I think is a real positive for this football team. And he said today he's been really pleased with the practices they've had in the bye week. And so hopefully they got a lot done working on their own team before they started concentrating on Texas.
How has Tom Herman been received by the Big 12 now as a head coach?
Well, I think people really respect what he's done and his history. And, I mean, you look everywhere he's been, he's had success. And I don't think there's any doubt that he is going to get Texas playing at a very high level very quickly. So I think he's going to be a very good thing for the Big 12. I think when you look at the Big 12 as a whole and you look at its long-term health, you probably need Texas and Oklahoma football to be good. And I'm not saying I want them to win the conference. I want Iowa State to win the conference. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is when it comes to the long-term health of the Big 12, it's a good thing when Texas football is a good power, and same with Oklahoma. And so he'll get them back to that point. I don't have any doubt about that. They already have really good athletes. I mean, you guys saw the USC game. You saw guys flying around. They have a lot of good players. Kind of getting them all on the same page and getting them going is what the challenge is. And I see a little bit more of a team playing with that extra heartbeat that you kind of need to have success at that high level. I saw a lot of that in that USC game, and we'll see if it carries over to this week. But Tom's an intense guy and a likable guy. I enjoyed when he was at Iowa State visiting with him every week, and I think he's going to do a very good job there.
I think it's been brought up before, but David Montgomery, Matt Campbell has talked about wanting a running back who is elusive out of the backfield. What kind of dimension does his elusiveness bring to this offense, especially when you have an offensive line who has improved but is still developing?
Yeah, and I think that offensive line is probably getting a little bit more beat up than it should. I think they've done a pretty good job of opening some decent holes for David in that running game. Now, not maybe as many as you'd like, but there have been some pretty good holes for him to run through. The thing about David Montgomery is he can take a nothing situation and turn it into something special. We saw him do that against Akron, where he was completely bottled up in the backfield. And I talked to Jake Campos about that this past week, just about how important it is to sustain your block when David's the running back, because you just never know when the play's coming back your way. And he was kind of laughing about that, because it's so true. You know, that one run against Akron in particular stood out in his mind as one where your tendency is to kind of think, okay, the play's over, but you can't think that way with him. And so he's elusive, he is tough, he's strong, and he's very strong-minded and determined. And so you add all that together, and you've got quite a package, and he's off to a terrific, terrific start this season. I think it's only going to keep getting better for him, and it's really fun to see what he's doing right now. It's a combination of speed, power, and elusiveness that we haven't seen in quite some time. Even though there have been a lot of good Iowa State running backs through the years, this kid is really, really special.
You mentioned Matt Campbell being a guy of routine. Are you a guy of routine, John? Is this going to throw you off tonight, not having the call-in show at Applebee's?
I'm a complete mess. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to have to go home and take my wife and daughter and go over to Applebee's in Anchorage, there where I live, and just to stay a little bit in my routine. But, yeah, we'll get back to the show next week. But with the short week this week, Coach preferred not to do a show, so we did one last week instead. And he wants every minute focused on this game. So we're going to skip a week and come back with it strong next week.
All right, John, looking forward to hearing the call at least once we get off the air and can tune in on Thursday night. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
And speaking of, should let everybody know that Thursday night, I believe beginning at 5 o'clock, we will be on the FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 only, because 1600 AM, the main gym, will have John Walters and the Cyclone Radio Network presentation of the pregame as ISU gears up for Texas. Again, a big thank you to Craig Adamson for sponsoring John's appearance with us. You can learn a little bit more about Craig on the website kgymradio.com. And speaking of learning more about things, when is the last time that you, I'm talking to you, the listener, had a physical? I don't necessarily think it's anything any of us have ever looked forward to. The answer is probably high school sports for a lot of guys, unless maybe there was a physical with insurance or something along the way. But that's just one of the things that you get on your very first visit to Mentality. Their board-certified physicians do a complete physical exam, a consultation, and a complete blood panel with results the very first time that you visit one of their facilities. There happens to be one that just opened in North Liberty at 959 Ashley Court, suite number 5. 595 Ashley Court. In North, I was just in North Liberty the other day. I should have known that because I drove by. I wanted to check it out myself. Here's the best part. Mentality is covered by insurance. And you may be asking yourself, well, why do I need to check this place out? Well, they can help you with low testosterone and a couple of other things that men of a certain age sometimes have to deal with. I say of a certain age, it really affects men of all ages. You can get a little bit of an increase in energy, mental sharpness, weight loss, and yeah, it might even help you in the bedroom as well. Mentality is, as we mentioned, located in North Liberty. Check them out on online, lowtusa.com. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Here at Toyota of Iowa City, we're winding down the 2017 model year. Because of the fantastic deals we're making on the remaining 2017 models, they'll be gone before you know it. Don't wait until it's too late. In addition to the great deal Toyota of Iowa City has for you, there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on all new 2017 RAV4s, plus a $1,000 cash bonus on all gas models or an optional $3,000 cash on all hybrid models. Come on in and take advantage of these savings and maybe get yourself an all-wheel drive so you can be well prepared for winter. Choose the Toyota you want because there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on most of our remaining 2017 models. It's the perfect time. Come see us at Toyota of Iowa City and let's make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
Through October 2nd, 0% financing for 72 months with qualifying credit through Toyota Financial Services. $1,339 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Is Saquon Barkley the Heisman Trophy frontrunner after his performance Saturday night against the Hawkeyes? Yes or no? Our Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Vote, and we will check in on the standings before we leave you at 7 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football on the horizon for many of our listeners. Here's Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as the Big Ten's co-defensive player of the week for his efforts in Iowa's 21-19 loss to Penn State over the weekend. He matched a career high with 16 tackles, including 6 solo tackles and 3 for a loss, as well as an interception and fumble recovery. Jewell leads the Big Ten with 44 tackles and has now received the honor twice in the first 4 weeks of the season. Despite the loss, Iowa earned some respect on Saturday night and received 16 votes in this week's AP poll, technically good for 31st in the country. And Penn State's Saquon Barkley was named Offensive Player of the Week for his 211 rushing yards and school record 358 all-purpose yards against Iowa. He also had a career-high 12 receptions and now leads the Big Ten in rushing and receiving yards and receptions. The Iowa softball team beat Kirkwood over the weekend in its second game of the fall season 5-3 thanks to home runs from Arilee Bogar and Allie Wood. The Hawkeyes will be hosting the Big Four Classic this weekend beginning Friday with UNI. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders split a home-and-home with the Waterloo Blackhawks over the weekend, losing 4-0 on Friday in Waterloo and winning 5-2 in Cedar Rapids on Saturday. They've got 3 more preseason games this week, including another one at home against Sioux City on Thursday. Tonight after the show, it's Monday Night Football between the Cowboys and Cardinals in Arizona. That'll start up around 7:30, and we'll pick up coverage shortly after 7 on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
The Iowa baseball team got recognized at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday night, too. That was nice to see. They got their Big Ten championship rings earlier in the day after taking on the Ontario Blue Jays. And Chad Greenway was introduced. I think they're introducing him again at Kinnick Stadium right now, if you drive by and roll your windows down. I think 3 different times he was on the field on Saturday night, enough to the point where it became a little bit of a running joke among the press, Penn State writers in the press box. Speaking of Iowa Penn State, we're talking about it next with Scott Docterman from the landat10.com. Hour number 2 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way next.
There's no better time than right now to protect your family. So if you're like me and have been putting off getting term life insurance, you have to call SelectQuote. Here's the SelectQuote difference. Most companies give you one option, one policy, and one rate. But